Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today. And with me is Dr. Philip Gauger. He is a veterinarian and associate professor from Iowa State University. Philip, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, too. I appreciate the opportunity.
You know, there's a lot of talk about emerging diseases, but when it comes to flu, it always seems like we're talking about emerging strains.
That's probably an accurate way to describe that. Really more emerging rather than something that's brand new, because the virus is an RNA virus, and basically you could say it's constantly changing. There's a couple of different forms of changes that it can undergo. One of those would be antigenic drift, and the other one antigenic shift. And because of the unique genome or makeup of the structure of the virus, it can undergo point mutations within its genome, which creates enough changes that the virus becomes diverse. And then major changes that occur is when the virus undergoes reassortment. And this is when two different segments from two different viruses are put together into a new virus genome. And these segments undergo then a shift, is what we call it. And what emerges would be a virus with a much different genetic makeup than what it had before. So those two processes right there can contribute significantly to the genetic and antigenic diversity that we see with this virus.
And what are the most significant trends that you're seeing with swine flu over the past 5 years?
Well, we certainly have seen over the past 5 years an increase in the incidence of cases that we have at our diagnostic lab. The number of flu cases has increased. As far as what's diagnosed as one of the respiratory diseases that can inflict swine, and definitely a very large increase in this genetic and antigenic diversity that I just described. So as veterinarians are trying to control the disease within their client swine herds, one of the things that they do more commonly than what they used to is sequence the virus so that they can do some genetic comparisons of this virus from what was currently in the herd to or previously in the herd to what maybe is a new introduction or a different virus that could have infected the herd. So we've seen an increase in sequencing, much more genetic monitoring, and then definitely this increase in this genetic diversity, which makes the virus much more difficult to control.
Now, different variants and genetic diversity, they're really two different things?
I guess I would say they kind of go hand in hand. So with this genetic diversity would create the variants within the influenza virus itself. And so based on pretty much genetically, what we're seeing when we look at these viral sequences and do comparisons is that the virus has separated itself into different genetic clades, is what we call it. And those clades have been given a particular designation so that we have basically a name that we can utilize to help monitor these viruses and what perhaps needs to be going into vaccines to help control the virus as well. There's really two different subtypes. There's H1 and H3 viruses, and within each subtype, will reside these different clades based, again, on their sequence and genetic similarity or dissimilarity, you could call it. So what becomes important is knowing really which clade has been circulating within your herd on the farm so that you can help make some health decisions based on continued monitoring, vaccine and control, and things of that nature.
And what should producers look for? I mean, ultimately, we'll get into diagnostics to figure out which strain is at work, but I mean, are there certain symptoms for certain strains that they should be on guard for?
Really, the virus can present itself similarly across the different strains that are infecting it. So being a respiratory disease, we still see the primary complaint being coughing or respiratory distress in pigs. And it really can depend, though, on a lot of factors how severe it would be. So the strain really doesn't dictate the severity, but the previous clinical history might dictate how the virus or the disease itself presents within a group of animals or within the herd. So you can have endemic infections which come on slowly and will primarily manifest themselves within the nursery phase. If you have an introduction of a brand new virus of a different clade, let's say, or of a totally different subtype, that virus might present itself with more severe clinical disease than what we have seen previously. But overall, the respiratory disease that it causes would be fairly similar.
I understand you and your colleagues have been working on a website that will help veterinarians get a better handle on what variants are out there and see the different trends in the field. Could you tell me more about that?
Sure. At the Iowa State University Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory, we receive several thousand cases each year that are related to porcine respiratory disease, and many of those are diagnosed as caused by influenza. Over the years, through sequencing that has taken place through requests of the veterinarian and their attempts to help the producer, we've accumulated also thousands of sequences of these viruses as well. So there are methods in which we can evaluate these sequences and compare them to each other, and that's called phylogenetic analysis. And that helps us decide where these viruses reside within the different clades that are what makes up this genetic and antigenic diversity. So these sequences have been basically sitting in our Iowa State Diagnostic Lab for several years and really haven't been made publicly available. And so what we wanted to do to help producers and veterinarians is to organize those sequences into some data that would be available for use in a website that veterinarians and producers could view that would help them see what the different frequencies of detection or predominance of the different strains of viruses that would be out there. So we've had an individual create a website that is basically a series of charts and graphs that can be manipulated by the person using the website to look at different aspects of the data that would be of interest to them. One of those in particular would be looking at the prevalence or the incidence of the different strains that are within circulation. So they're able to see within these different clades where there would be the majority of viruses that are currently infecting different swine, and maybe even base that a little bit on a regional aspect. So with that in mind, they're able to see, you know, if these are the viruses that are currently circulating or if something new is coming along, it might help prepare them for what they could be expected to see in the future within their own herd.
So more of a predictive tool that veterinarians can use to help their customers.
Correct. So if they're seeing that the predominance of the viruses are within within these different clades, and they've been given these names, you know, we've got alpha, beta, gamma, delta viruses, and then those are within the H1, and then we've got H3 viruses that are made up of different clades that are basically cluster 4A through 4F, and then there's even a human-like H3 that recently entered pigs. Wow. Not too many years ago, that's been maintaining itself and becoming much more prevalent than what it was before. So in looking at those, they can see which ones are in higher prevalence in the circulation, and then certainly want to be thinking about the potential that that would be something that they would include in their vaccine.
Talk just a little bit about your presentation at the 2017 American Association of Swine Veterinarians meeting. You talked about a disease bioportal. Mm-hmm. Could you explain that?
Sure. So we did a workshop here at this year's AASV, and we wanted to help veterinarians start to look at utilizing some bioinformatic tools, we call it, to help them understand the viruses that they're working with a little bit better. And Disease BioPortal is an online website that's free of charge that can be utilized by veterinarians and individuals at the university level as well. To help monitor the viruses that they would have in a particular database that might be related to the Iowa State Diagnostic Lab data, for example, or it could be data that goes down to the farm-specific level as well.
And what kind of data would you be getting out of there that would help the producer?
So again, you would be able to put in there the incidence of positive cases if they were submitted and put into the BioPortal itself from a particular farm, or the VDL data, for example. But what would help the farm level through the veterinarian would be entering their diagnostic case results into the BioPortal. It would be able to help them make charts to see what perhaps the prevalence or incidence of flu would be over time, and if it's increasing, where that might be occurring, and which different systems within the farm itself might be at risk. And then again, it utilizes a lot of sequencing information as well. So on a similar scenario with what I described with Iowa State's website, mm-hmm. you can organize that sequencing data into some phylogenetic trees to look at genetic comparisons. It can help you look at individual viruses that might be looking completely different than what you've had within the farm. And those would be basically something that could be recognized within the data as standing out on its own, and that would be of interest because it is something new or different. And you might want to be able to look at the incidence of that particular strain over time, or whether it's increasing prospectively into the future, because it might help dictate some management changes that might need to take place based on that particular farmer production system.
And when will all this be available?
So the disease bioportal is already available, and it's administered by University of California at Davis. And so you can easily find or access that website online, sign up and register for that, and then you would have access to the tools that they would have available. That particular website has a curator that's managing the website itself and then oversees basically that data. So with that in mind, you have somebody available for help doing updates and things of that nature that would be important to the website. And then within that particular program, you would be able to have access to some public databases that you can interface with your own data. So the public databases would be a much larger volume of sequences that you could utilize for larger comparisons to see what's maybe going on from a more regional or even U.S. aspect and what would go beyond that farm level. So the Iowa State University website that has their sequencing information is already available. That can be found by going to the Iowa State University Veterinary Diagnostic Lab website and following the links there to access that information. Again, that would be for veterinarians and their clients or producers who want to really look at what is the diagnostic data showing them. And so from our data would be all from diagnostic cases that are submitted and how that would look again based on what the disease is showing us through that data.
And for producers who want to learn more about this but may not want to understand every little nuance of swine influenza, where's a good place for them to go to get the latest information on swine flu?
Well, really, their veterinarian would be their best person to give them that information. So the veterinarian would be the one that is attending meetings such as the ASV mm-hmm. and has access to what would be the most recent information that might be new related to the virus itself. Then again, I think that there's information from different commodity groups that would be useful as well. National Pork Board is a resource. They would have some information there online that could be utilized related to this disease and other ones. And certainly when anything happens that might be unique or different or new, groups like the National Pork Board would be making some updates to that information that would be relevant, that would be applicable to. So the AESV is our swine veterinarian organization, and they're also concerned about the producer too. And so they would have some information available on their website, mm-hmm. and they get that information out to producers as well when there are particular concerns with something that might be changing with the disease.